Amen. Well, Father, we just praise you and glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to run after you with all of our heart. All of our heart, Lord. Put a hunger in us too that won't satiate till we have all of you that we can handle. We can handle a lot, hopefully. And we praise you for that, Father. Place it in us to run after you, Father. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless us tonight with your presence and your leading and your guiding. Thank you, Lord, for all of the wonderful testimonies that are going to be had. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that shows up, Lord. Bless them. Bless them with all that they need, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Did y'all get that thing that I sent out in email about the 1,500 cities? Okay. I don't know if you're going to have anything up in Canada or not, being an Andrew, but possibly, I don't know. But anyway, we prayed today and prayed against it, and thank you, Lord, that it's not going to be near what they say it is. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing whatever is necessary to quell it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Missy, are they saying anything up there around you? Pittsburgh there?
There's been like peaceful demonstrations in the city, I believe, but nothing, no rioting, no criminality that I know of.
Okay. Well, I know that LA is having problems with the people throwing rocks and shit off of overpasses and things on the police, and that's just crazy. I think that was yesterday, might have been yesterday or this morning. Anyway, Lord, we thank you for taking out the deep state players that are doing this. Thank you, Father, for taking out the leadership that are agitating this. Thank you, Lord, for exposing all of them who are involved, all the politicians, all the deep staters, all of the left, all those people that are involved in exacerbating this this bunch of people to go out there and act righteously. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for shutting it down. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, has anybody got a testimony or a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Well, this morning in the prayer meeting, I asked for prayer. There are two other people that asked for prayer too. We're all healed. But I wasn't congested at all, but I just had this dry, tickly cough. It kept me awake, and I had this sinus pain and everything. And so I fell asleep. I don't know if y'all figured that out. I fell asleep during the morning meeting. And I woke up about 8:30, nobody there. Uh-oh. Anyway. So then the cough stopped right
Praise
away.
God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And I still had a little bit of sinus pain, and I just laid down early this afternoon for a little bit. Late this morning, early afternoon. And it's gone now. So thank you, Lord. I think,
Lord.
I was talking to Angelica, and I said, I think that we're getting these attacks because, when you don't feel good, it's hard to pray, and the enemy doesn't like it, that we're praying against their agenda. And so I'm like, Lord, help me if I can only just pray in the spirit. But even that, is hard, when you're not feeling good. It's like, Lord, help me. Give me the grace to do that, you know. So, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God that you're going to take the pain out of her sinuses, too. In Jesus' name. It's all got to go. All right, Julie, go ahead.
No, I just have a couple of things to share. We all prayed last Thursday. You agreed with me that I would hear from my egg lady, Rachel. Well, I didn't hear from her until Sunday. And I was just like, okay, well, she's not the type that's like real, you know, flaky or, you know, or anything like that. She's very responsible. But I figured something must have happened if she wasn't feeling well, because it's like a whole week. Like, I texted her, I asked the Lord, and he just said, just wait. And I asked the Lord, and I texted her on Friday morning and just said, are you okay? And I didn't hear back from her, didn't hear back from her. I didn't hear from her until Sunday evening. And she said she apologized. She was so sorry. It's just been a really busy time for her. So she goes, I'll bring your eggs tomorrow. And I said, okay, great, thank you. You know, so we agreed on, you know, the usual time, place, whatever. So yesterday came, and it was like, you know, she usually comes over on her lunch hour, and it was 12 o'clock, and I didn't hear from her. She usually texts and say I'm on my way or something so I can just be downstairs. Well, I didn't hear from her, and I waited, and it was like 12:15. I'm like, okay, well, maybe she had a late lunch or something. She's gonna swing by on the end part of her lunch. But anyhow, I texted her. I said, is everything okay? Are you still coming? And she's like, you know, kind of one of those things. I completely forgot your eggs. I'm so sorry. She's like, anyhow, I was like, okay, no problem. She goes, I'll be there tomorrow. And she's got this big grin on her face. It's all through text. And I said, okay. And then I just bound up all for, you know, I was binding up all spirits of forgetfulness and, you know, confusion and all that kind of thing. And anyhow, she showed up today. I texted her like it was 12:05. I said, are you on your way? And she said, yes. So I got my eggs today. And she told me what was going on. She had been sick, and then she took a couple days off because it was her birthday and it's the end of the fiscal year for them. And she works in that department, finance department. So she has been just really busy and stuff. And she apologized over and over. And she said, I'm so sorry. No, anyhow, so I got my eggs, so I'm happy. And then the other thing what I want to share is that's so awesome. And we all know that, but I've got a computer, is old, and I didn't buy a real expensive computer, and I don't have a ton of memory on here, but my computer's been running out of memory, and I would have sometimes just, you know, things just delaying and really slow and opening up and all that. And it's because my memory was running out. It would be like I looked down my memory, and I would do things that I know how to do to clean up the cookies and the cache and clear out all the junk and all that stuff. And you have all these things open, all the history and all that kind of stuff to go in there and clean it out. And I was doing that. Well, I prayed and asked the Lord. He said, contact Brandy. So I contact Brandy. So he and I got on the phone. We were talking about different software programs and stuff. And I didn't have one on there that was reliable to do all that. So he gave me a link, and I ended up buying that and getting it. But it still wasn't doing enough. So then I was going through like all my software. I'm trying, I don't want to make a I want to make a long story short, but it's kind of, you know, involved anyhow. Because I'm not a real computer person. I know enough to get in trouble, and I don't want to do anything to get in trouble. I don't want to mess up my computer. So then I'm like, okay, so what's on my factory installed stuff from HP? So I go in there and say, can I install these safely? What is this? So then I went into the HP community board, and I was searching to see what I could remove. So I posted a question on there, what can I safely remove? And I listed the ones that I had shown up on there that I, you know, that were still on there as just needful. And it took a few days somebody to get back to me. So I was doing that, but I still did not have a lot of memory. And I just said, Lord, I said, I just want you to clean up enough on my computer stuff. I don't know what to clean up, but you do. And I asked, I can then the techie angel get in there and clean up my memory. I said, just give me another at least 20 to 30 more megabytes so I have something to work on, you know. And so anyhow, after installing all that, you know, software and cleaning everything up and doing things I could do, and all that. And I looked the other day, and it God had done exactly what I asked him. I had another 25 megabytes of memory to use, so I don't have anywhere near the bar, being full, where it was on red. If you look at your, if you know how to look at that, where the memory is on your computer, and it was on the red, like you have nothing left, So it was, he gave me extra memory. So I just want to thank and praise the Lord that, he can do anything. I asked him exactly, to give me like another 20 to 30 megabytes so that, thinking that would be enough, just so I can do my work on here and not have to worry about running out of memory. And he did exactly what I asked. So thank
Okay.
you, Lord.
I
He
wouldn't
cleaned up
stop
stuff in
getting
my computer.
megabytes.
Well, I don't have that many, it's not that big a memory on my computer what I bought,
Okay.
So, and he didn't, he, I, a year or two ago, I asked the Lord about getting a new computer and I got a no, and I guess, I've had some trials. I had another trial with this computer. Like I was getting a warning on here that my cleaning fan, the operating fan on my computer was inoperable. It wasn't operating correctly and it could cause all kinds of problems and blah, blah, blah. And I went through months with that. It was making all kinds of noise on my computer and I was getting the black screen warning thing. And I'm like, no, Lord, you said if I ask you anything, you'll do it. You got to fix my computer. You got to clean that cleaning fan. You got to maintain it. I don't know how, and I can't take it anywhere. It's like, I don't have the money to buy anything. You said no computer. So you have to, and he has been faithful. I've had some trials with that where it was continue to give me problems, but hold fast the confession of your hope and don't waver and keep confessing. Nope, my computer runs perfectly. So anyhow, God's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning up my computer and maintaining it and clearing out the memory. So I've got junk out of my memory that, junk that was in there I didn't need. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for giving her 4 or 5 terabytes in of memory. Oh my God.
You're assuming I'm going to need this
I
computer for
just
that
good.
long to have that kind of memory, right? I don't know if I'm going to be doing that kind of work anymore. Who knows?
Okay. Thank you, Judy. Anybody else? Y'all ready to hear a good song? Are you ready?
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. Before me, the world behind. cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me.
I had another one, good one, coming on behind it. I let me turn it off. Okay, how many of you read the thing I put up in the Signal chat? Nobody? Nobody, 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 nobody? Okay. I'll go ahead and read it. Reason I did it, or put it up there, is to someone had to find it over here, and to make you aware of there's more to it than what we've been used to in this closeness to God, in this spiritual hunger for God. And I'm going to read what I put down this morning, and I took it from John G. Lake stuff. Christians are stumbling over this every day. You are doubting and fearing and wondering if Christ is there. Beloved brother and sister, give him a chance to reveal himself. He is there. Probably because of your lack of realization, your soul is closed and he is not able to reveal himself. You know, God is never able to reveal himself outside of the spirit or soul. The real secret of the ministry of healing is in permitting the grace of God in your heart to flow out through your hands and your nerves into the other life. That's the real secret, and one of the greatest works God has to perform is to subject our flesh to God. Many Christians, the deepest Christians who really know God in their spirit and enjoy communion with him, are compelled to wait until a process of spiritualization takes place in them before God can reveal himself through them. Do not imprison Christ in you. Let him live. Let him manifest himself. Let him find vent through you. By that, Lake meant this. I remember him telling a lady one time, she came in to visit him. She had something wrong with her. I forget what it was, but she had some kind of a infirmity. And he was busy writing, and he said, how long have you been a Christian? She told him, I don't remember how long, it was a long time. He said, I tell you what, go over there and sit down. And he said, just ask the Holy Spirit to come into your flesh. Just ask the Holy Spirit to come into your flesh. And she sat over for about 2 minutes and she said, well, can't you just come over here and put your hands on me and heal me? He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I want you to learn how to do this. So you won't have to go with the route of James where you have to call the elders every time you get sick. And so she did. She went back over there and directly. It was sometime, maybe 10, 15 minutes, she was sitting there and he said, just all I want you to do is just think that the Holy Spirit is inside of your spirit. Okay. Now I want you to move the Holy Spirit into your flesh because if he's in your spirit's clean, it's cleansed, but your body's not. He said, once you get the spirit into your body, then your body will be cleansed. Now, I thought about that a little bit and I said, that makes sense. So, anyway, so he was sitting there writing stuff on, he was doing some work on his desk. And man, it wasn't about 15, 10 or 15 minutes later, she said, I got it. I got it. I'm healed. I'm healed. And what she had done, she had made the transfer from the spirit to the flesh with the Spirit of God, allowing the Spirit of God to come into her whole being instead of just the spirit of her. Did y'all understand what I'm saying? Once you get the spirit out of your spirit, and allow him to get in your body, then you know once the Holy Spirit is turned loose in your body that you're healed. Because no sickness can live where the Holy Spirit is, right? It's got to go. It's got to go. Now, I know that's going to bring up a whole lot of questions, and I hope I've got one, at least one answer. Anyway, but it made a whole lot of sense to me once I saw it. And he said this, once you get the flesh in, I mean, once you get the flesh out of the way and the spirit is able to flow through you, then you'll be able to heal people. Every time you put your hands on somebody, the power of God will go out and heal them. That's what Lake said. Blake said, when I found that out, he said, that was the key to my ministry of healing, because I knew when I put my hands on anybody, they were going to get healed because the power of God in my body was going to go out through me into those people and heal them. What is that it says in? Let me look here real quick. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And he's talking about the hunger. And that's how you get more of Christ, is the hunger that you have in your heart. And when you get more of the Holy Spirit in you, and God in you, the more power you're going to have, the more of everything of God you're going to have, the more that the Holy Spirit can work inside of you and outside of you. I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but if you can understand about the getting the spirit out of your spirit into the flesh also, that'll make a whole difference in the world. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, obviously the first verse that I thought of when you sent that out, make his path straight. I was at work at the time, so I couldn't really delve too much into it. But make his path straight in the will. I'm butchering it, but Mark
Oh,
one
that's
and
fine.
three, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so you're talking about hunger. And right when you brought that up, I was thinking of what it talks about in Philippians, where it says, I keep my eyes forward unto the upward calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thinking of that grace that's constantly coming upon you and always thinking about that, right there, you need that hunger to want that grace. And then another verse that's really good, I was looking at it and I think I brought it up not too long ago. Again, I'm going to butcher it if I'm not going to read it off my e-sword here. It's in Hebrews 4, 4 and 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and both joints and marrow and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. So I might be going off course here, but to let God have vent through you, to let God's living word have vent through you. The living word of God living through you, venting through you. And then this, you're bringing your, I think you're trying to gear us towards having that hunger to have that living word living through us. It's a very much a thought concept that we need to wrap our worldly minds or our newly spiritual minds that we want to mature around and not think of it very fleshly, because that's how we can get lost. And so yeah, it's eye-opening. Praise God that he's not letting our not giving us any hardened hearts about this, or any hardened numbskull heads for this or anything.
I'm glad you said that, not me. Anyway, no, that's good, man. That's right. That's where I want everybody to think about is the spiritual hunger has brought on many, many revivals. The spiritual hunger has brought Christ to the world. What do you think those people were doing back then? They were hungry for Jesus to come. Somebody was praying, I believe. That's just me. There's a lot. When you have spiritual, how many of you have been praying in the spirit, praying that God would just grab you and hold you and to give you more hunger, give you more hunger for him, and then all of a sudden you this great peace just comes all over you. And you just, oh my gosh, this is so good. Thank you, Father. Can you keep it up? Will you keep it up? Will you keep it up? Will you keep it up? And then after a while, you know how we are when the world just takes a hold at times. You lose that peace that's in your heart. And then you long for it again, you long for it again. Instead of just in and out and in and out, what I'd like to do, Michael would like to do, is to have that peace and that communication with the Holy Spirit all the time, 24/7. And there is a way to do that, and that is to seek the Lord with all your heart. And once you get him in a place where you can communicate with him, don't quit. Don't quit. That's how all the revivals, all the New Hebrides revival got started, because of these two ladies that got to praying so much. They asked the Lord, Lord, please. And they were giving him their heart. And the Lord was coming in and blessing them too. I'm telling you, he was blessing them. But anyway, has anybody else got anything they'd like to? There's some more that I could share if you want me to. Missy, you look bored. Oh, okay. What would happen if we were all All of us here, right here, just this bunch here, were desperately hungry for God. I guarantee you there'd be some people, more people here because you'd be spreading it. You'd be spreading it. You know, righteousness is the rightness of God, the rightness of God in your spirit, the rightness of God in your soul, the rightness of God in your body, the rightness of God in your affairs, in your home, in your business, everywhere. Because God is an all-around God. And his power operates from every side, and all the time. It's how we access it that makes the difference. You know, I believe in my little walk with the Lord, the best thing that ever could have happened to man was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He has taken possession of men. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he takes possession of those that are hungry. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Golly, it was like the Lord was washing me with clean water. And I spoke in tongues for 4.5 hours, nonstop, out in the shop, walking back and forth in my shop, nobody around, because I didn't care if anybody was there or not. And I'm telling you, it felt like waves and waves and waves of the peace and the joy of God was just flowing, and the power of God was just flowing through me. Have some of you had some of that before? I know you have, yeah. And every now and then I've had that, a portion of it happen to me from time to time. I want it all the time. Because you know that you know that you know that it's Jesus. And you know that if anybody comes around you that needs help, glory to God, they're going to get it. I'm telling you. And I was just a new Christian. Well, I'm about a year old, I guess. Yeah, Patrick.
Did you email that out? Is that what you
No,
said?
I'll
Or is
put it
that?
in the. I put it in the Signal chat,
Okay.
in the testimonies and words from the Lord, I believe is what it's
Yeah.
called.
Well, I was when he was talking about pushing, but bringing the Holy Spirit down through your body. It kind of sounds like communion, because of, when we partake in the bread obviously in communion represents the Lord's body broken for us, his flesh. And as we take his flesh into us through communion, that is, I'm not really
You're on the
super
right
clear
track.
on this, but
You're on
that
the right
is
track.
the healing of our his body broken for us. Is the healing for our flesh. And the blood, as we partake in the blood of the new covenant, this is my cup, the blood, that blood also is obviously for our redemption and for our atonement for us. for our sin, but it is also the blood is the life of the flesh. And so we not only receive in communion the Lord's flesh, we take it into us, but we also receive his blood, which is the life of his flesh within us. So that's the connection I'm making with what he is speaking about, John Lake is speaking about here, because it is through, in that broken body of Jesus, the scripture says that by his stripes we were healed. And so I haven't connected all the synapses here up to this point, but that's the connection that I'm making in this whole thing.
Okay. Go ahead, Ben.
That story where it's the guy telling the girl, like, oh, he's in your spirit, but is the spirit in your flesh? Was that John G. Lake?
Yeah.
What book is
He
that from? Or did you share it some time ago and I'm just not
No,
remembering?
I've got it right up here. It's in the big book, and it's in a little book called "Spiritual Hunger"
Okay.
by him. "Spiritual Hunger and Other Sermons." Yeah, that's a good little old book. It's a real good book, and I'd recommend everybody getting it.
Spiritual Hunger.
Yeah, let me see if I can. Where it is? Yeah, it's
Oh, you got like a cover.
Huh?
It's got like a cover on it.
Yeah, it's a book. What you
Oh.
think it's got on it? Feathers?
All right.
Come
All right. All right. All right.
on, Oh, my. There it is. It's actually edited by Gordon Lindsay.
Oh, good pictures. I love pictures.
Yeah, it's got pictures in it too. You'd like it. No, I'm just kidding you. It doesn't have any pictures in it. But it's a good little old book. You can
Spiritual
get
Hunger.
it. Hey, listen, everybody, you can get it PDF online.
Michael, can you hold that up again, please? Up close to the
Sure.
camera. Thank you.
Messing with you, Julie.
Yeah, I know you like that. Thank you.
What's the title again, Michael? I can't read it that way. What's the
Spiritual Hunger
title?
and Other Sermons by Dr. John G. Lake, edited by Gordon Lindsay. This is a Christ for the Nations book. That's who Gordon Lindsay is. But like I said before, you can go online, type in that title, and put PDF on the end of it, and you'll get it up there. It's in PDF on there. What he talks about is, I'm trying to think of the word that I can use, is surrendering completely. I'll just read you this portion of it, you'll understand.
Did I get kicked out?
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Everyone went quiet. I thought I was getting
Oh,
kicked out.
okay. Every believer on Jesus Christ is authorized by the Lord to do as he has done. Jesus has done, assured of Christ's assistance. John 14, 12. Greater works than these shall ye do, because I, Jesus, go unto my Father. He's going to help us get to just like him. He'll help us everywhere. All we have to do is just give everything to him. Mark 16, 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs following. You see what's happening here? Matthew 28, 20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The miracles of Jesus have been the battleground of the centuries. Men have devoted their lives in an endeavor to break down faith in miracles. But you know what? I believe there's more people that believe in miracles today than ever before because of what's happened since the 1900s, since Azusa Street. The message is getting out. The Holy Spirit baptism came back into play in the church back then, and it has expanded. Now it's expanding exponentially. The problem is that people don't realize who lives in them and what he's there for. You know what he's there for? He's there for to get the message of the gospel out. He's there for to heal people, to set people free. That's what he's here for. That's what he's here for me for. You see somebody in need, what he wants us to do is like he did. Let me ask you a question. Did he just go to, did he heal just Christians or Jews? No. He healed everybody that asked him. Some of them had to listen. Remember what happened with the Phoenician woman? Y'all remember that one? What did he tell her? Y'all remember what he told her? He said, I can't hear you right now. What's the matter with you? No, that's not what he said. That's what I said. Then she kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. And he finally said, because of your faith, your daughter is here, delivered, set free. That's why we need to be just as emphatic, for lack of a better word, in our walk with him to get more spiritual hunger in order to draw him to us more and more and more every day. Remember what happened at Pentecost? You think they were just sitting around waiting on Jesus? They was praying. They was praying. They were praying, praying, praying. They was praying for that, Lord, help us, Lord, all of these things that Lord wants us to do. And what happened? Shook the whole house, glory to God. Everybody there got filled with the Holy Spirit. Went out speaking in tongues, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all the things that we're supposed to be doing. And we're supposed to be like Jesus. The Lord wants to see a bunch of Jesuses out there here shortly. How many of you know there's earthquakes all over the United States now, going up from the East Coast to the West Coast? They're ramping up. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready, and I want everybody here to be ready because you can affect where you live. I can affect where I live. How many people you gonna bring to Jesus? All those that see the miracles, all those that see the signs and the wonders, all those that gets a word of knowledge that just resounds with them. Lord God. When I started reading that little book, Ben, I got fired up, man. I said, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Glory to God. Bless me, Lord, with more of you. Well, he'll give you all of you that you want.
I'm trying to find that PDF, but I can't seem to find it. Your internet's probably different than ours from up here. I think it takes longer to get up here.
I'll send it to you. I'll send it
Oh,
to
you're the
everybody.
best.
In fact, I'll send you the whole book. I can just do that.
Sweet.
I'll send it to you in an email. Yeah. Remember the ice cream
Awesome.
bucket. Just remember the
Thank
ice
you,
cream bucket.
Michael.
That's all. I'm kidding.
Ice cream.
Thank you, Michael. We'll send you ice cream.
Thank you
You're
very
welcome.
much, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Does nobody else want it? Just you two. I must have a delay here. Okay, I'll send it to everybody. I was just kidding you. I knew everybody wanted it. Yeah, Missy, you got your hand up. Or you just saying you wanted it? Okay. Go ahead, Anna. Oh, she was just raising her hand too. Okay. Okay, Josie found it. If Josie can find it, Ben, oh my goodness. Atta girl, way to go, Josie. I'll send it to everybody. What I'm doing, I'm putting it in Word, Microsoft Word, and I'm almost finished with it, and I'll send it to everybody. But here's some more. He says, Lake says, I'll guarantee you that after the crucifixion of Jesus, there were 120 mighty hungry folks in Jerusalem. If they had not been exceedingly hungry, they would not have gotten so gloriously filled. It was because they were hungry that they were filled. We're sometimes inclined to think of God as mechanical, as though God just set a date for this or that event to occur. Lake says, but my opinion is that one of the works of the Holy Ghost is to prepare the hearts of men in advance by putting within them a strong hunger for that event that has been promised by God until it comes to pass. The more I study history and prophecy, the more I'm convinced that when Jesus Christ was born into the world, he was born in answer to a tremendous heart cry on the part of the world. The world needed God desperately. They wanted a manifestation of God tremendously. And Jesus Christ, as deliverer and savior, came in answer to their soul's cry. A lot of people look forward to the second coming of Jesus, as though mechanically on a certain date when certain events come to pass, Jesus is going to appear. He says, I don't see it that way. I believe that there must be an overwhelming hunger for the Lord's coming in the hearts of men, so that a prayer such as was never prayed in the world before for Christ to come will rise to heaven. And when it rises to heaven on the part of sufficient souls, it will take Jesus Christ off the throne and bring him down to earth. I think the same thing is true for the man-child ministry. I think it has to be a desperate cry of men to the Lord to help this world as he helped it when he was walking on the earth. Which, I'm thinking that too. I don't know if that's the truth or not. I don't know if just at this certain date God's going to do it, or is it going to be people like us praying for it? things to happen. Take a look, listen to what happened to Daniel. Daniel says he was convinced by the study of the books of prophecy, especially that of Jeremiah, that the time had come when the Israelites should be delivered from their captivity in Babylon. The 70 years was already fulfilled, but there was no deliverance. So he diligently set his face to pray it into being, Daniel chapter 9. And if deliverance were going to come to pass mechanically on a certain date, there wouldn't have been any necessity for Daniel to get that tremendous hunger in his soul so that he fasted and prayed in sackcloth and ashes that deliverance might come. God's purposes come to pass when our heart and mind get the real God cry. I put this up there the other day. When the real God prayer comes into our hearts and the real God yearning gets a hold of our nature, something gonna happen then. And it don't make any difference what your soul may be coveting. If it becomes a supreme cry in your life, and not the secondary, the third, or the fourth, the fifth, or the tenth, but the supreme desire of your soul, the paramount issue, all the powers and energies of your spirit, soul, and body are reaching out, crying out to God for the answer. It's going to come. I remember the story that Lake told about his friend. This was a farmer, Tom, Dan Ewing, I think he's something, Dan, something like that. Anyway, he had some kind of physical problem with him. And his wife was not saved. Oh, he had tuberculosis. So he went out into the desert. They lived in the desert. He went out into the desert under some kind of tree. And he just cried out to God with all his heart and all his everything within him, you know, Lord Jesus. Somebody had told him about a revival coming into town. And that this one got healed, this one got delivered of alcoholism, and another one got healed, da 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 da. And he put it out there and he said, Lord, you did this for that one, you did this for that one, you did this for that one there. I know you could do it for me. And I'm going to stay here until you get it done. And I've got a wife in there that needs deliver. She needs Jesus, and I'm in here for her too. And he just kept on, and hours and hours and hours. Finally, he got up, went to the house. As soon as he opened the door, his wife saw him and knew instantly that he had been healed. And she dropped to her knees. Dan, please, for the love of God, help me. I want Jesus. Those two got together after she was saved. I went to pray, and the Lord told him. He said, I want you to, well, first, let me say this. He went to his brother's house, got them saved. I forget how many families he saved. But then the Lord told him, he said, Dan, I want you to go to the premier. I don't, some of you may remember the name. His name was Both, B-O-T-H, Both, Both, or something like that. I remember the name from years and years ago. But anyway, he went to him. He was a high school friend of his. And he said, soon as Dan walked in my door, he told Lake this is the premier of South Africa. He said, soon as this guy walked into my office, he said, I had to come out of my chair and hit my knees. He said, the power of God was following him so much that I couldn't stand it. And I came to Jesus. The Lord had him go there. He had him go to the secretary of this and the secretary of that, secretary of this. And he got everybody in the government there almost. saved by the power of God that he had, because he sought God more than he sought his flesh. He wanted more of God than he wanted any of his flesh. Wouldn't that be awesome to be able to know that when you go and speak, you're going to speak the words that God gives you. And when you speak the words that God gives you, it's going to change everybody that listens to you. Because God said, go over there and talk to them. You go over and talk to them, they come to Jesus. Go over and talk to this one. Go over here and talk to that one. Go over and go see my brother. Go see your brother, Michael. Talk to him. All my brother, both of them. Anyway, and my sisters. How many of you'd like to do that? I'll raise my hand. Praise God. Okay, has anybody got any questions or any comments? Yeah, Debbie.
I was just thinking how much we need to pray like that, the way you're expressing that, to have a hunger for the Lord, to have a great hunger for Him. Just we need to pray for that hunger.
Yes.
What if they like if they did in the upper room, but or just
Yes.
praying for anything else, praying for everyone together. Not saying do it together, we can by ourselves. But everyone together praying for deliverance or. Oh, deliver us, Lord, or deliver us from our enemies. But Lord, give us that hunger. So
Amen.
I need a real hunger. So thank you, Lord.
I want more.
Yes.
Just think of what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people praying together. That's almost 12. That's almost the disciples. And do if we're all tuned in to the Holy Spirit. Let me see what else I've got here. I've got something I want to play a little bit later by Corey Russell. Has anybody heard of him? Corey Russell, he talks about spiritual hunger. He makes a prayer like that. I want to read this again. No matter what your soul may be coveting, we all want our family saved. We all want to be able to get more of the Lord. If it becomes the supreme cry in your life, the supreme cry, not the secondary, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth, or the tenth, but the supreme desire of your soul. Excuse me. The paramount issue, all the powers and energies of your spirit, soul, and body are reaching out, crying out to God for the answer. Folks, it's going to come. Woo! He said, I lived in a family which for 32 years was never without an invalid in the home. Before I was 24 years of age, we had buried four brothers and four sisters, and four other members of the family were dying, hopeless, helpless invalids. I set up my own home, married a beautiful woman, and our first son was born. In only a short time, I saw the same devilish train of sickness that had followed father's family had come into mine. My wife became an invalid. My son was a sickly child. Out of it all, one thing developed in my nature, a cry for deliverance. My soul cried to God for deliverance. I knew nothing about the subject of healing, notwithstanding I was a Methodist evangelist. But my heart was crying for deliverance. My soul had come to the place where I'd given up depending on man. My father had spent a fortune on the family to no avail, as if there was no stoppage to the train of hell. And let me tell you, there's no human stoppage because the thing is settled deep in the nature of man, too deep for any material remedy to take to get at it. It takes the Almighty God and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ to get into the depth of man's nature and find the real difficulty that is there and destroy it. If you're away from God and your heart's longing, your soul is crying for God's deliverance, He'll be on hand to deliver. You'll not have to cry very long until you see that the mountains are being moved and the angel of deliverance will be there. And I finally got to that place where my supreme heart cry was for deliverance. Tears were shed for deliverance for 3 years before the healing of God came to us. I could hear the groans and cries, the wretchedness and sobs, and feel my family's desperation. My heart cried. My soul sobbed. My spirit wept tears. I wanted help, and I didn't know enough to call directly on God for it. Isn't it a strange thing that man do not have sense enough to call on God for physical difficulties as well as for spiritual ones? But I did not. But one thing matured in my heart, a real hunger. And the hunger of a man's soul must be satisfied. It is a law of God which is in the depths of the spirit. God will answer the heart that cries. God will answer the soul that asks. Christ Jesus comes to us with divine assurance and invites us, when we are hungry, to pray, to believe, to take from the Lord that which our soul covets and our heart yearns for. And one day, the Lord of heaven came our way. And in a little while, that cloud of darkness, that midnight of hell, that curse of death was lifted. The light of God shone into our life and into our home just the same as it existed in other men's lives and other men's homes. We learned the truth of Jesus and were able to apply the divine power of God. We were healed of the Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger. Ooh, glory to God, glory to God. I hope somebody's getting fired up. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Has anybody else got something they want to say? Comment on. Let me see if I can. Let me ask this question. Does anyone have anything to ask about anything that I've said so far? Is there something that's hanging in your craw there that you don't really like? And I'm not asking it to fish, I'm just asking it to you, because I believe it's right on. Okay, let me look here right quick. It won't take me just a minute. Think I've got it. I think I so saved it. Ah. Here it is. Yeah, I think that's it. Okay, y'all want to hear this prayer by Corey Russell? It's not only a prayer, it's him talking a little bit too. So okay, it's not that long. Does everybody want to see it? Okay, good. Andrew. All right. Okay.
Prayer out of Matthew 5 for spiritual hunger. And the prayer out of Matthew 5 where Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I caught a vision in my early days. God, I want to see you above everything else. God, I want to jealously guard my heart. Whatever I look at would create holy environment in my soul, and that I would save that sacred space for God. I would pray Psalm 24 where David says, "Who may ascend until the hill of the Lord?" He said, "Clean hands. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, he shall receive blessing from the Lord." And you said, "This is Jacob, the generation of those that seek you, that seek your face." And I cried from my early days, "God, I want to be amongst a generation that would have clean hands, pure hearts, no idols, and that would see your face." God, I live in a generation to where perversion is paraded openly on our televisions and on our billboards and in our magazines and all over the culture, screaming our sights and images and voices saying, "Look at me, drink of me, take into me." Father, I confess, God, that I haven't guarded this space like I should, like I've been called to. God, I've looked at things I shouldn't. I've entertained thoughts that I shouldn't. And today I come before you, God, and I ask you for forgiveness. God, I live in a generation bombarded with the spirit of perversion, inundated with the spirit of immorality from every avenue, God. Generation where pornography is screaming, coming after them. God, I ask you to set them free today. Friend, I don't know where you're at or to what degree you're in bondage to the power of perversion. But I want you to lift your eyes today. I want you to know there is hope and mercy in his eyes. That he is the man of zealous, fiery zeal to set you free from all toleration of immorality. There's deep fire that burns in his eyes for you. And the fire in his eyes will consume all perversion, all immorality in your soul. Just look at it. Let the fire in his eyes burn away. Cleanse you. Remove everything that can be removed. Look at him. Ask him today that his hatred of perversion would become yours. And that his love for holiness would become yours. Give us your holiness today, Jesus. Give us your love for righteousness today, Jesus. Right now, look at him. Right now, I want you to join with me. Look at him. But just confess it right now before sin, before him. I don't care how in bondage you are, how enslaved you are to perversion. Look at him. God, we confess it as sin right now before your throne. We were made for the worship of the only true God. We confess it as sin right now. And we ask for the blood of Jesus. The blood shed at Calvary to wash over us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Jesus, we want our thoughts to be clean. Our emotions to be clean. Our desires to be clean. Wash us, Jesus. We receive your forgiveness. I believe that the power of your blood is stronger than my most shameful sin. In the name of Jesus, we shut every door to darkness. We turn away from every thing, every person, everything that would steal affection for you. We turn and we shut the door in Jesus' name. We break agreement with darkness today. We sever every tie with darkness today. And today we open up new doors. Doors of light. Doors of truth. Doors of encounter. In the name of Jesus. Satan, we declare it, that your power is broken in Jesus' name. You are not our master, but Jesus is our master. Now, friend, right now, just lift your hands to him. Look your father in the face. Look your bridegroom in the face. We ask right now, Father, wash us. Give us the spirit of revelation. We want to see him the way you see him. We want to love him the way you love him. Father, I pray for all those across the earth bound by the power of pornography, immorality, and perversion. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for them today. Release your mercy, your eyes of compassion. Release your power right now that you would set them free in Jesus' name. I take authority over every work of darkness, every work of Satan, and I break your power in Jesus' name. And I declare freedom to those who are in bondage, those who are enslaved. I declare freedom in the name of Jesus. I say, let my people go in the name of Jesus. Let my people go. Come out of your prisons. Loose the grave clothes from around you. Loose the bonds from around your neck. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Worship your God. Worship your King. Release it all over the earth, Jesus, we pray.
That wasn't the one I wanted to play, but it worked. So praise God. Thank you, Lord. That must have been the one that the Lord wanted me to play. So it's just as good. The other one was just, it was, Barbara. You could go on and find him. It's called
Michael, I found that he has a whole
spiritual hunger,
spiritual hunger, and there's like a whole prayer list. I mean, a whole like 21 videos or something like that, just about it. And it just showed that same thumbnail with the inheritance. So it was all under that. So there's a bunch of prayers under that.
I don't know who he, I've heard the name before, but I don't know who he is. Corey Russell. All right. Anybody got any comments on what we're talking about tonight? Spiritual hunger. Any questions? How do you get that spiritual hunger? Somebody tell me how to get it. I must have a great delay here. Oh, okay. I see some hands going up now. All right, Julie, go ahead. I think I saw you first.
I think one way would just be like, just crying out. Just crying out to the Lord, I want more, I want more, I want more, and fasting. Seeking Him with all of your heart. And just praying. It's like, Lord, I want what I had before the enemies come in and and polluted my mind or distracted me with other things. And where I want what you did for me, 15 years ago. I want that back again. That all I want is my mind is stayed on you. All I want to do is read my Bible. All I want to do is seek you and seek your face in prayer. And I mean, just crying out to the Lord. I think that's a big part of this, is surrendering your heart and telling him everything you want and watch him move. I mean, what else can you do? Is it a place of desperation too, I guess, for the soul? You need more, and you're not satisfied. Like David said, I'm not satisfied till I awaken my likeness. I'm not satisfied with this. This isn't what you promised. You want, I want more. I know there's more, because I've tasted of him, and I know there's more. It's just not being satisfied with just, okay, this is all I get. It's kind of like being complacent or settling.
So it
And
is
that's,
something that we have to do, right?
I think we have a part to play in that, and just desiring him more than anything else, and showing him you're serious, I guess too. That's the part. You're not just saying it. It's with your heart.
It's going under the desert tree out there and laying down and crying out to the Lord. I'm just figuratively speaking. And with all in your heart, Lord, I want more. I want more hunger. I want this infuse me with spiritual hunger that I would want you all the time. Not just part time, not just 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day or even an hour a day. Yeah, I saw that. But I think it's something that we need to, I for one, want more of it. I want more of God in me. I want to be able to walk without worrying about, well, is this going to distract me or this, or YouTube? Exactly. Everything that comes in front of it. No, first thing on my mind is Jesus. First thing on my mind is Jesus. I want nothing but Jesus. And then when something flows across my screen, like, you get when you first turn it on about all the news things that's going on. Oh man, that looks interesting. Damn. 2 hours later, you know what I'm talking about. Don't be acting like you up on that holy horse. Every one of you probably. But I want to, he said, what Lake said was, let it be your first, not your second, not your third, not your fifth, not your tenth. But let it be your first thing that you want to do. And that's just to cry out to God for spiritual hunger. This thing about what he was talking about to that lady is bringing the Spirit of God out from your spirit into your flesh. That made all the sense in the world to me. That sounded like quantum faith to me. Just believing that the Spirit of God is moving out of your spirit into your flesh, because when he moves into your flesh, no sin, no sickness can stay there. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, it's going to be divine hell. Does that make sense to anybody? Yeah, it did to me, man. It stopped right under me. I said, oh my. And he told her, just sit over there. Just sit over there and just concentrate and believe that the Spirit of God is moving out of your spirit into your flesh. Because once you get it in, he told her, once you get it into your flesh, the Holy Spirit, there's no sickness can stay there wherever the Holy Spirit is. And you do that also when you're trusting in the Lord to do these things. You know that the Lord who is inside of you, the Lord's inside of you, and he's with you. And you know that when you lay your hands on him in the flesh on somebody, you know that the power of God's going to go through you to them. They're going to heal them over time. That way you can help other people. And it's all faith. It's all based on what you believe, your faith. Go ahead, Andrew.
You mentioned at Pentecost that the room shook. Okay. Do people shake in the presence of the Lord? I know there's verses that say that, but is there any sort of like physical manifestation? Could you like visibly be shaken with something and be healed at the same time? Or someone could be insulting you a lot, and you could you want to get them back, but you're shaking and you're not getting him back. You're just taking it in. So I was just wondering if anyone had some sort of happening, if anyone had anything like that happen to them.
Are you talking about a physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit being transformed into someone else as
Well,
far as his healing or something like
I'll
it?
give
I
you an
have.
example. I was at work one day many years ago, and there was this guy there that he annoys everybody, but he was tearing into me, and I was bigger than him, and I wanted to hit him, but I was just shaking, you know, and it was preventing me from hitting him. And after he left the room, the shaking stopped. And I went, what just happened there? You know, and I said to myself, you know, if I would have hit him, I would have got fired there, and I wouldn't have had my 35 years of working at the same place, and it would have been disastrous at that time. So I was just wondering if that type of shaking does happen. I know it says there, I forget exactly where it is. It might be in the book of Hebrews where you shake and stuff. I remember a long time ago, I used to shake a lot in church and stuff, and in the Pentecostal and Church of God. And I used to just be like praying, and as a young Christian, and I would shake a lot experience things like that. So, but I was just wondering if anyone ever had a healing
Yeah.
while being shaken, you know.
No, I've never had what you're talking about, as far as myself. I felt the power of God go through me and into someone else and seen them shape. But they were
Oh.
just ecstatic about being healed because the power of God was going through them. Boy, they just, ah! And then they'd be healed. But as
Okay.
far as myself, all I had was good feelings.
Yeah, it wasn't hurting,
Yeah.
but it was just more of a shaking. And sometimes you wonder if someone's praying for you or something. And during the guy when he was insulting me, there was the guy who witnessed to me was in the same room when that was going on, so it was interesting anyway. But
Praise God.
yeah, so. Yeah, so praise and glory to God.
I know that at times when there might be a half a dozen of us or even less be praying together, and the power of God would fall on people, and boy, they might shake or they might manifest in some kind of way.
Yeah, because I was just wondering, because the room was shaking there. So I
Yeah.
guess for that many to be converted at once, something had to come by there and really shake things up. Yeah. That certainly would make people think twice,
I remember Daniel Hagin talking about he had just gotten a brand new church out in Oklahoma. I believe it was in Oklahoma. And when he first got there, this little boy came up to him and said, "My mama's sick. It's a Sunday morning. She wants you to come pray for her." And he'd go over there and he went down and he'd say his little, "I'll break the power of Satan off of you in the name of Jesus, be healed." And he said, "All right, get up, you're healed." She said, "No, you gotta pray until you shake the room, shake the house, shake the bed." So he said, "Okay." So he got down, he went to praying. I don't know how long it took him, but he said, all of a sudden her bed started shaking. The house started shaking. And she says, "Okay, I can go now." So she'd get up out the bed and go to church. And she did that every Sunday for a while. He had to go there and pray until the Lord shook the bed. And finally, he got fed up with it. He was running late. The kid came over and said, "Mama wants you to come pray for her." He said, "You go tell her I've already prayed for her, and she's to come up out of that bed in the name of Jesus." So she did. She came, and she didn't. He didn't have to pray for her anymore. He was running late. But you know how Kenneth Hagin is. That's the way he tells it. But yeah, that's shaking. I'm as far as shaking objects, I can't think of a time that I've ever prayed when that's happened. Some of y'all may have, but if you have, I'd like to hear about it.
No, I was just mainly thinking more of a person's body or something.
Person, yeah. Now I'm talking physical manifestations of the house or the some object in the house shaking. That's the
Well,
power of God. Lot of good things happen when you get hungry for the Lord. Lot of good things. I'd love to have, not that I don't most of the time, but I'd love to have that peace and that joy in my heart all the time. Anybody else like that? Oh, I'm the only one. Oh, I saw you did. Yeah, I seen you do, Pat. Yeah, I'd love to know. I'd love to have that peace and that joy and that 24/7 communication with you, and allow that word of knowledge to be running through you all the time, and not only that, the gifts to be in operation when you need them. When you need them. And that's why he says it's the cry of your heart that'll bring it about. We want to, I often wonder about this, is that this anointing of the man child, is it going to come because of people praying for it? Or is it going to be just a happening that happens? Lake didn't seem to think that. He seemed to think that everything comes through prayer. Did anybody else got any thoughts on that? Yeah, Debbie.
Michael, I was just thinking that same thing. It was either today or yesterday.
Oh,
And I was
yeah.
praying, for the kind of things, man child coming. I asked that same question. The Lord, I asked the
Amen.
Lord. It was more wondering in my mind. I don't really pray it, but is it through our prayer? Or is it just going to happen because it's supposed to happen? And the timing now is right. I had that same question. So
Yeah, I think
that
it's
probably
through
is true.
prayers too.
Prayer.
Yeah, that's what I think, but go ahead, Missy.
It's often been my thought that it was going to be through prayer because that's how it came. The former rain came the day of Pentecost.
Well,
History repeats, David's taught us.
And I believe because of the way that the world was at the time of Jesus's birth, I think people were praying for Jesus to come at that time. I don't think it just happened, do y'all? He says he uses man. Doesn't he? Uses his voice, he uses his hands, his feet, everything about him to bring about the kingdom. So I would think that we need to pray. Well, that's always been my prayer anyway. I've always prayed when I thought about it, not all the time, when I thought about it, pray for the man child anointing to come and the bride anointing, the man child and the bride anointing, both. Dear Lord, help us. Dear Lord, help us spiritually speaking to pray and to believe and to make it our number one priority to ask and to pray for spiritual hunger. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you would place it in us the things to pray about. And that prayer would be one of our mainstays in our walk with you, Lord, because prayer brings about change in people. And I praise you for that, Lord. And I think about Kenneth Hagin, the time he was praying for his brother, who was a drunk at the time. And he kept praying the Ephesians chapter 3 prayer. And chapter 1, 2 over his brother for months and months, and said he came to Jesus because of it. And Lord, and so many other people have too. And Father, I just praise you and I thank you for placing it in us to cry out for spiritual hunger, to cry out to be wanting to be next to you, Lord. It's not for power or anything, but to just be next to you, Lord. To have that love and that joy and that peace it is when we can believe that you're with us at all times and you talk to us. I know at times that I've talked to you and you talk to me and other people here the same thing. But Lord, we want to make this be a 24/7 thing. I remember the time at the meeting there, Lord, when you came into the room and had me get David up and all that. That was awesome. That was awesome to see you in there. And I want this all the time. I like to see the angels all the time. Everybody here does. Everybody wants to see the angels. They want to see the angels. And you have blessed me a lot of times to see the angels. You bless me right now to see my angel sitting right there, Ariel. Everybody, Lord, I pray that for everybody, that they would see their angels, to see the things in the spiritual realm in order to keep us aligned with you, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us to bring that about. In Jesus' name. And Lord, those that have had words of knowledge, had dreams and visions, and have all the things that pertain to the gifts, the spirit of healing, faith, all of those gifts, Lord, let it be a daily thing with us. Every time we get together, Lord, that it would happen every time we get together because of our hunger for you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us and those that are listening too. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray or talk? Oh, glory to God. I'm gonna relate a little story for you. Is that okay? Unless somebody raised your hand, I was looking at it. Anybody raise your hand? Okay. I'm gonna read you some more of this. This is cool here. I've mentioned it a while ago, but I didn't read any of it. He said, "I love to tell a story because it's a story of a hungry man. A short time after I went to South Africa, and God had begun to work very marvelously in the city of Johannesburg. A butcher who lived in the suburbs was advised by his physician, doctor, that he had developed such a tubercular state that he might not live more than 9 months. He wanted to make provisions so that his family would be cared for after he was gone. And he bought a farm and undertook to develop it so that when he died, his family would have a means of existence. One day, he received a letter from friends at Johannesburg telling of the coming of what they spoke of as the American Brethren and of the wonderful things that were taking place. They told of so-and-so, a terrible drunkard who had been converted, of his niece who had been an invalid in a wheelchair for 5 years, who had been healed of God, and how one of his other relatives had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and was speaking in tongues, of other friends and neighbors who had been baptized and healed. He told of the powerful change that had come in the community and all the marvels of vigorous work for God produces. Dan von Vuren took the letter, crawled under an African thorn tree. He spread the letter out before God and began to discuss it with the Lord. He said, 'God in heaven, if you could come to Mr. So-and-so, a drunkard, and deliver him from his sin and save his soul and put the joy of God in him, if you could come to this niece of mine, save her soul, heal her body, and send her out to be a blessing instead of a weight and a burden upon her friends. If you could come to so-and-so and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, Lord, if you could do these things at Johannesburg, you could do something for me too.' He knelt down, he put his face to the ground and cried to God that he would do something for him. That morning, von Buren was so stirred by the reading of that letter that his desire to be made whole got bigger than anything else in his consciousness. His heart reached for God, and that morning his prayer went through to heaven. God came down in his life. In 10 minutes, he took all the breath he wanted. The pain was gone. The tuberculosis had disappeared, and he was a whole man. But that was not all. He not only received a great physical healing, but God had also come, had literally come in and taken possession of the man's life until he did not understand himself anymore. In telling me, he said, "Brother, a new prayer from heaven was born in my spirit. I had prayed for my wife's salvation for 18 years, but I never could pray through. But that morning, I prayed through. It was all done when I got to the house. She stood and looked at me for 2 minutes until it dawned in her soul that I was gloriously healed of God. She never asked a question as to how it took place, but fell on her knees, threw her hands up to heaven, and said, 'Pray for me, Dan. For God's sake, pray for me. I must find God today.' And God came into her soul. Van Vuren had 11 splendid children. The mother and he began praying. And within a week, 7 days, within a week, the whole household of 13 had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He went to his brother's farm, told of the wonder that God had done, prayed through, and in a little while, 19 families were baptized in the Holy Ghost. God so filled Von Vuren's life with his glory that one morning God said to him, 'Go to Pretoria. I'm going to send you to the different members of Parliament.' And at executive headquarters, he was admitted to the presence of Premier Lewis Both. And Both told me about it afterwards. Premier Both said, 'Lake, I had known Von Vuren from the time he was a boy. I have known him as a reckless, rollicking fellow. But that man came into my office and stood 10 feet from my desk. And I looked up, and before he began to speak, I began to shake in my chair. I knelt down. I had to stick my head under the desk and cry to God. Why, he looked and talked like God. He had the majesty of God. He was superhumanly wonderful." And then Von Buren then went to the office of the Secretary of State, then the Secretary of Treasury, and almost the same thing took place in each instance. And for 18 days, God kept him going from this one to that one, lawyers, judges, and officials in the land, until every high official in the land knew there was a God, a Christ, and Savior, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all because Dan Von Buren had really hungered after God. Blessed are they which do hunger." For several years before I left Africa, he went up and down the land like a burning fire. And everywhere he went, sinners were saved, sick were healed, men and women were baptized in the Holy Ghost until he set the outlying districts on fire with the power of God. Oh, glory be to God. Lord, let that happen to each and every one of us too, Lord. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come in to us, Lord, in a way that we wouldn't want nothing else but you, Lord. Glory be to God. That's a good story, wasn't it? It wasn't a story, it was the truth. That's what happens when the power of God comes upon you in a way that nothing else matters to us. Nothing else matters but God. Nothing else. Whew, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got any comments? Everybody just contemplating. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, I was just going to say what you read there, that man was shaken. I was thinking what, Andrew's
Yeah.
question was, that he was, shaking or anything in the presence of the Lord. And he was. He was
Yeah,
shaking.
Premier Booth. Both. That's right up your line there, Joe. Out there in Pretoria.
And just a little bit for my time.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah. I suspect so. Yeah. I remember that name. I remember that name from a long time ago. Okay. What y'all think? What you thinking? Amen. More of you, Lord.
What's that song you guys sing in the fellowship? We've sung it on the live stream too. Give me Jesus.
Yeah, give me Jesus. That's the name of
Give me Jesus. You can have all this world.
it. You can have all this
Give
world. I'm just want you, Lord. Give me Jesus. I forget how to do it. Well, I hope and I pray that the Spirit of God would give us all that hunger for Him. I'll read you a little bit more here that really turned my head too. What is it? Blake says this. He says, I am a believer in the partnership of man and God. I believe there is a fusing, a symphonizing of the soul of God and man, that the two become one. Not a saved man and a glorious God, but a man fused into God, and God fused into man, one divine creation. Ooh. When Moses stood at the Red Sea, it was not Moses and God. It was just God. God had said to Moses, "Thou shalt be as God." Not different from God, but thou shalt be as God. We are continually saying, "Lord, make me a channel," leaving ourselves separated from God in our thought and expecting God to pour his spiritual power and blessings through us. That's not the highest thing, okay? There is a greater experience than that in God's word. It's where you and God become one. Your whole body, your whole soul, your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole spirit, in the rhythm and fusion and symphony of the eternal God. One in heart, one in mind, and one in soul. You and God is one. Is that a hundredfold? I'd say that'd be a hundredfold, wouldn't it? When Moses stood at the Red Sea, check this out. He tried to back out of that relationship God was establishing and tried to throw the responsibility back on God. He was overwhelmed. It was too marvelous. Surely God must not have meant it, but God knew. When Moses began to recognize himself as an individual and God as another, it was offensive to God. He thought he could back up and pray to God to do something for him, the way God used to do in the old relationship, but he couldn't do it. The idea that Moses would want to leave that place of close fellowship with him, that inner relationship, that divine symphony of Moses, soul and God's, was offensive to God. And God told him, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? In other words, shut up your praying, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Whew. God didn't say, Moses, you stretch forth your hand and I'll divide the sea. He said, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Glory to God. Somebody ought to be shouting. Praise God. That's the Old Testament, too. God was saying, Moses, you and I are one. Stretch forth your hand and divide the sea. You got all there is of me. And I have all there is of you. We are one and indivisible. God and man became one. The heart of man, the mind of man, the soul of man enters into God and God into him. The divine fires of the eternal Christ by the Holy Ghost come from heaven. And the lightnings of Jesus flash through that life. The power of Christ invigorates, manifests, and demonstrates through that relationship. Glory to God. It's not that we are God, it's that God is working through us because he's with us. He's in us, right? We're not God, but we can work as God. We are his ambassadors. And as his ambassadors, we can do anything that he can do on this earth. He's given us the authority and the power. Ooh. Anybody else? I don't know if I'm getting through to y'all or not. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Pat.
It was studying this. It's kind of the same concept. It was I was looking at Galatians 2:20, and I'd always had a I'd always had I'm searching for it here. When I saw that verse and it says, I have been crucified in Christ with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. Excuse me. Faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And I always had that a question in my mind about, he said, I no longer live, but Christ living in me. And I couldn't understand how that could happen because, man, I read it and I understand it, but if I no longer live, it appeared to me that if I no longer live, I would be not be in existence. I would cease to exist, and Jesus would live in me. But if it's Jesus living in me, then all of these struggles that I struggle through or participate in or are trying to overcome or whatever, it wouldn't be happening if it was just Jesus living in me, because he doesn't have any problem with the power over sin or power over the flesh or the power, he would have absolutely no problem within me. So I felt that there was still, what is this that's happening? Am I still living? It says I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live. So I couldn't, I was struggling over, what's happening here? Is this my inability to die or to cease or whatever it would be here in order to unleash the Lord and his life within me? And as I was praying about it and studying about it, this morning it dawned on me that there is a process, and I don't know if I'm explaining it or not, but I understood for whatever reason now that it is this place of, in John, when Jesus was talking to, I think, Martha or Mary at the raising of Lazarus, he said, "He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live." And if you look at that, it appears that it's both happening at the same time. And I think that's what is happening here in this verse, is that it is happening at the same time. And what I ended up believing what is happening is that when I am believing a certain thing, whatever it is, and I realize that Jesus, the Word of God, is something different than what I was cur am currently believing, and I acknowledge that, and I at some point in time choose to discard what I previously believed, and adhere or grab on to what Jesus, with the Word of God, or what Jesus said. And I transition from believing what I used to believe into believing now the Word of God. There's a transition, there's a place of death to that old thing, and the awareness of life or living in the new truth. And there's a transition that takes place from death to life, where I was believe used to believe in one thing, and now I believe in the other. And I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly or whatever, but there's not a death meaning going out of existence, but there's a transition from one to the other, and that is a transition or the exchange into the life of Jesus. And so I still remain conscious of, so I still remain conscious. I don't lose consciousness or lose a life. I discard the old life. So I don't know if that, it just, it's, it, it kind of clarified a little bit with me this morning in that verse alone. So I don't know. It's just I think I'm going through things of
truths that are getting knocked down and changed and going through a shake up myself, I think, in this whole process. But anyway, praise the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He's taking us through the paces here. So I thank him for that. Amen.
Looks like we're out of time. Praise God. I enjoy it. I get fired up every time I read this kind of stuff. And I wanna pray that all of us would seek the Lord on a continual basis. Father, we've already prayed that, and I believe it's gonna happen, and I thank you for it, Father. Thank you that everybody here is going to have a testimony the next time of your work in each one of us. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks.